Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Later this week, comedian Aries Spears will be in Albany for two performances at the Funny Bone, Friday at 7:30 and 10. Aries Spears has been a veteran of comedy clubs, TV, and movies for decades, including his run on Mad TV and a lot of voice work.
Heat with Pacino and De Niro. Anybody that's ever seen the movie knows what I'm talking about. It's like they took the two greatest actors of all time and put them in a scene together. If you've never seen the movie, go rent it, smoke a joint. It's great. They got that scene where they meet for the first time and Pacino's sitting there with De Niro. You, sir, are a bad guy. I am the police. It's my job to stop guys like you. Murderers, rapists, killers. It's what I do. There may come a time when our paths cross. I'm gonna have to take you down. I won't like it, but I'll do it. Keeps me hot on my toes. Where I gotta be. De Niro comes back. You know, there's a flip side to that coin. A good friend of mine, Jimmy, once told me, never get attached to anything that you cannot walk out on in 15 seconds flat if you spot the heat coming around the corner. And I also like guys like you that like guys like me because you keep me hot on my toes. Where I gotta be. And you're right, our paths, they may cross. I'm gonna have to take you down. I won't like it, but I will not. Hesitate. Great scene. Now hold up, picture the same scene with Stallone and Schwarzenegger. Stallone is doing Pacino. You know there's a flip side to the coin. I might have to take it down. I won't like it, but I'll do it.
And you can catch his conversations about 80s movies like the Rocky series and the American cities he visits on his long-running podcast, Spears and Steinberg. Aries Spears, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hey, how you doing?
Do you like to be on the road?
You know what? It's a blessing and a curse because sometimes it's a paid vacation, and then other times, depending on where I'm at, it's hell.
Do you want to name any names?
I mean, you know, anywhere where you know time slows down and people don't read as much is never exciting for me. So that pretty much is the whole certain parts of the Midwest and down south.
I've always wondered this about comedians. You guys work at night. What do you do during the day ahead of a gig?
Hibernate. You know, we usually get up early in the morning and do press, like, you know, 6, sometimes 7 a.m., do TV, do press. And then because we are nocturnal creatures and we hang out all night, by the time we get done doing press and get back to the room, we just basically hide in the hotel room all day long until it's time to work again.
What do you do during that time? Is it a lot of, like, refining material, or what do you do? You're on social media?
Social media, sometimes, you know, you try to revamp and rework material. The guy who features with me also does a podcast with me, so we usually sneak in a podcast episode. There's a whole lot to do. I wish I could make it sound more exciting, but, you know, that's essentially what alcohol and weed is for.
Has that been a problem?
Not yet.
Let's go back in time. You're famous for having gotten an early start in comedy. How did you get going in the first place?
You know, I came up in the 80s, so my first taste of comedy was from Eddie Murphy on SNL. And I had eventually read that he started at 14, so I kind of wanted to follow in those footsteps. So I started doing a lot of the black clubs and local clubs in New York and New Jersey. And then made my debut on the Def Comedy Jam when I was 16 years old. And then did Showtime at the Apollo when I was 17. And everything else just kind of fell into place.
In those early days, what kind of material were you doing?
Oh, I was just filthy and raunchy and raw. So I probably some of the most juvenile things you could think of, but I'd always had a love for doing impressions, so I would stick a lot of that in there as well.
You're so good at impressions. When did you realize that you could do them?
Probably around, you know, 10, 11 years old.
Do you remember, like, the first ones you did and who they were?
Probably. My mother's a jazz singer, jazz and blues singer, so I grew up listening to a lot of jazz coming up, so Louis Armstrong. Probably the first person I ever tried to do.
Did she encourage you to do comedy at an early age?
Oh, absolutely. She almost even forced me because at one point it was like, you need to start paying rent or get out. So I had to start making money at an early age.
Were you making a lot as a teenager?
No, I mean, you know, but as a teenager, $100 is you know, wealth. So, you know, I made a couple hundred bucks here and there.
Did you play music growing up?
Did I play music, like, in my act?
No, you know, in your house. Did you take lessons or anything?
No. I mean, we listened to a lot of music. Music was an influence, but that's in every black household.
So when you started, getting into the clubs and getting your early breaks, did you envision that you would do comedy for a career from the beginning?
Yeah, I actually did. I kind of felt like there was some other things I wanted to try before comedy. Thought I, you know, could try boxing and rapping, but comedy's always been, it's always just been something I've always had a love for. I grew up watching, you know, my dad was a big movie buff, so, you know, I watched a lot of old comedies with him and Richard Pryor and, he had a large library of movies. So I just got a chance to watch a lot of movies, and my parents were very unfiltered. They weren't, you know, like typical parents. You know, they cursed and would curse around us and was real and raw and honest. So, and of course, as a kid, that's exciting for you. I just took all that in, and that became my world.
Where did you get your sense of humor from?
Probably both my parents, but my dad was probably the funniest one.
You mentioned that you wanted to do boxing and rapping before possibly going into a career in comedy. Did you ever try either of those?
Oh, yeah, I tried, and they both let me know quickly that comedy was the way to go.
How so?
I mean, you got to have discipline to be a boxer, and that's something that wasn't a trait in my family. Rapping, it's such a complex, difficult art form that I feel like that's something you really have to be born with, like anything else. You know, you got to be born. The really great ones are born with it. Whether you're an athlete or whether you're a singer or comedian or an actor, the great ones, you're just born with it. You can't teach it. And I didn't think I had it naturally.
One thing you're really known for is your hip hop impressions, which are incredibly good. How do you actually nail down a famous rapper's voice and delivery the way that you do? I mean, how do you fine tune that?
It's like having an ear for music. You know, people know I have an ear for tone, inflection, rhythm, riffs. So I wish I could say that there was some magic ingredient, but there really isn't. It's just something you are truly born with.
Cause we know we can't be faded. We just sit back, debate it while getting our hair braided. Nate Dogg, Warren G, Daz, and Corrupt. We gon' rep till we die. That's why we throw them things up. For shizzle, my nizzle, and the LBC. You know my name, Snoop Digo, double G.
I have a question for you about just the current state of things in America. There's a lot more attention on sort of policing what comedians say in their act, and people bring smartphones to shows often, and they might post an excerpt from a set that, you know, it out of context doesn't look so good. Has that changed anything that you do in your act, and are you more aware of that kind of environment today?
Yeah, you are, but I don't know how much you can really do about it. I know that, you know, Dave Chappelle, when he performs, he locks people's phones up. I don't know how hard that is to do or not do. And Ari Shaffir, I think, did it one time, too. So it's something I thought about looking into. But, you know, I don't know. It just feels like, why bother? You know, at the end of the day, there are different strokes for different folks. I mean, I guess, you know, I could see why Dave would do it, because he doesn't want anybody to hear new material until he's ready for it to be heard. Trying to control that is like trying to control a prison riot, you know? It's like, you know, what are you going to do? So, yeah, it doesn't bother me.
Have you ever apologized for any material you've done?
Never. And never would. I'm very Floridian. When it comes to my comedy, you know, I stand my ground.
Ari Spears will be in Albany this week for two performances at the Funny Bone, Friday at 7:30 and 10. And you can also catch latest episodes of his podcast, Spears and Steinberg. Ari, thank you so much for your time, and we're excited to have you in town.
Thank you, brother.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.